I'm being joined by the Clarksville softball coaching staff. To start off, I'll just have you both introduce yourself with your name and position on the staff.
I'm Katie Berman, and the head coach.
And I'm Taylor Ehrenholz, the assistant coach.
All right, so before we talk about this team specifically, I want to go back to you guys had a heartbreaker at the end of last season in that regional final against Southeast Warren. How would you describe the journey or the mission of the team from that point all the way up through this through the offseason, through the regular season, all the way up to this point qualifying for the state tournament here this year?
I think ever since that game ended, we were waiting for the regional final this year to just redeem ourselves. And last year, we didn't really know how good we were until, I think, that game. And just the fact that they could hang with Southeast Warren, who made it in the top four. I think they got third at state. And so I think that really showed how good they could be and that they can really do it. So then coming into this year, that kind of shaped their goals.
Yeah, I actually just saw that memory pop up on my phone this morning, and I was kind of thinking, I was like, it's crazy how much heartbreak that game brought to us, but Katie's done a really good job this year, even from, like, our preseason meeting, I remember. She just kept saying, expect it, expect it, expect it. So I think she's done a really good job at, like, yeah, we had that big heartbreak last year, but we kind of picked ourselves up and moved on pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that you guys had a pretty experienced team as far as, you know, the varsity reps coming into this year. I guess, Katie, what were some of the biggest things kind of going through your mind at the beginning of the season? You know, what were some of those biggest thoughts you had about this team, or maybe some of the biggest objectives you had for this team coming into the year?
I think my biggest goal for this team was hitting, and so we worked on that a lot in the off season. And this season, I just kind of looked at the field of 1A, and we were stacked last year with pitchers in 1A, and a lot of them were seniors. And so coming into this season, I really thought we were capable of hitting anybody. And so I wanted the goal to be we just score more than the other team. And with the three seniors and three juniors, they're huge leaders on this team, and all six of them have huge bats. So that was kind of our focus.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Nope. All
right. when it comes to this year's team specifically, you had mentioned hitting being a huge thing. I think your average is like 380, 382, something like that here as of the other night's game against Riceville. Is that kind of something you were shooting for? Or obviously 382 is a really good average for a team average, I mean, let alone an individual player.
Yeah, I think it's the second highest batting average we've had as a team for a year. So, but yeah, I think it's always been a goal to just be good hitters. And I pitched in high school, Taylor did, Corey pitched in college. So it's really easy for our girls to just get a lot of reps off of the hand, which I think helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the off season, what are some of the biggest aspects of your guys' off season work that puts you guys in prime position to be as successful as you are during the season?
I think Katie has, over the last 10 years coaching, a little over that, has done a really good job. She really found a good routine in the off season, when to start, how many times a week to do pitching, when to start actual batting practice, which is usually in the gym for the first couple months. It's just, she found a really good routine and how to time it out for us to, like, we always hit a little bit of a lull in the season, and it usually falls at about the same time where the girls are getting kind of tired, and then we always pick up right towards the end. So I think she just got us on a really good schedule to be on when we need to be on.
Would you agree, Katie?
Yeah, and I think with such a small school, we really have to work together to figure out how they can play all the other sports and still be really good at softball. So, yeah, we normally don't really start hitting until basketball's over, and then we really work around the other stuff to just make sure they're not getting overworked and getting sick of softball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we don't have enough time here to talk about, you know, all the players on the team and stuff like that, but I do want to ask about the senior class. How would you describe the journey for those guys? Obviously, for some of them, this will be their fifth year on varsity. How would you describe the journey of this particular senior class and what they've gone through here in their careers?
We're going to miss them so much.
Yeah.
Claire Lodge, I think she did start as an eighth grader, outfield, infield. She pitched a little. She's our leadoff, huge hitter, but she's just an awesome kid. Sometimes we'll ask her questions at the dugout, coaching questions, and say, what would you do? And then Emily Manwarren, catcher, super fast. She's an awesome kid. Every coach would want to have her on their team. Just kind to everybody, and she's kind of the heart of the team. And then Jenny Johnson, I think this year has really been her year. She stepped into second base last year, and then this year she's gotten almost all the balls at second base. And her batting has gone up so much this year, so she's really, really going out on a good note her senior year.
Do you have anything to add, Taylor?
I just think it's going to be three personalities. Like Katie said earlier, the three seniors and the three juniors are just – those are big personalities for our team, and they kind of, all of them help set the tone. So that one's, it's going to be a hard goodbye this year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Katie, I know over the last couple of years, you've talked a lot about your strength of schedule and having to test yourself in the regular season. You know, you played West Fork, Central Springs, stuff like that. You went to a 4A, 5A tournament mm-hmm. at Fort Dodge. Tell me a little bit about that this year, how you guys were able to ultimately test yourselves, because, you know, it's clear that, you know, when it comes to facing 1A teams, you do pretty well, but when it comes to facing some of those larger schools, when you really grow, right?
Yeah, and 2 years ago when we made it to state, someone mentioned to me down at state that we should be ranked higher, but they couldn't really move us up because we weren't playing huge schools. So ever since last year, we really tried to strengthen our schedule. Shout out to Mike Roop, our AD, for doing that, because he worked really hard on getting us in that Fort Dodge tournament. And then we really try to stack it at the end of the season so that way we're prepared for the postseason. But, yeah, just trying to have a good schedule. And also, there were three Iowa Star North schools in the regional finals this year. So we have been playing good competition all year.
You got anything to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. What comes to mind as far as some of the biggest learning moments that this team had throughout the season? Some times where you guys had a big chance to grow and learn from maybe some tougher moments that you had this year?
Fort Dodge tournament, for sure. I think that's where we got some of our first losses. But just learning how to fight back when you're down, and when you don't come out on top, trying to come the next game and get a big mm-hmm. win. And then, I don't know, do you want to talk about Central Springs? That was probably a big
game. I'll let you do it.
Okay. Yeah. We've played a doubleheader against Central Springs and West Fork, yeah. Both ranked, and did not play a very good game at all against Central Springs. And that was kind of the first time we were kind of hard on them. And they came back so well. We beat West Fork, who was ranked higher, and so that just shows the resiliency that they had, and I think that was a big learning moment for them. And I don't know, just any moment that we're behind. We played Riceville and we were down 6-4 in the sixth inning and came back and won 9-6. I think all mm-hmm. of that is big learning moments, and probably going to be very helpful down at state if we get down. They can show that they can come back.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, what would you say are some of the biggest highlights or defining moments from that perspective for the team here this year?
Probably, I think it was all kind of a surprise to us how fast we jumped in the rankings, mm-hmm. And just how well they handled that. At first, I was kind of shocked, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a lot of pressure. But the girls actually calmed me down and said, you know, if we lose some of our upcoming games and drop in the rankings, it's going to be fine because we can beat anybody in regionals. So I think them just being able to play under that pressure, because now we're going into the state tournament as the 2 seed, which is a lot of pressure too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when we came out as the 1 seed, and I think it was either the next day or a couple days after we had practice, and Katie and I like had wide eyes and we were like, oh gosh. And they were like, we're number one. That's cool. Let's go to practice. Like, I think they did a really good job at just being like, okay, cool, let's move on, let's prove it, let's do our thing.
And
so,
had you guys ever been ranked number one before?
Never.
Or was this the first season?
Yep, first time.
Did you feel like extra pressure for that, or how would you describe how that provided, I don't know, maybe motivation or anything like that for this team? How would you describe the mindset of being ranked, you know, as high as number one, obviously number two now, but what was that like for you guys being number one for a while there?
I think this year we really just felt thankful and grateful. Like, yeah. We got the respect that we've kind of been playing for and trying to earn. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think the state kind of gave us the respect this year that the teams in the past have been working towards this team to have. So,
yeah. You got anything to add? Nope. Mm-mm. All right. Just a few questions left for you. When it comes to... I ask you about this, you know, every time we do one of these shows, but when it comes to the culture and identity of this program, how does that continue to be so strong? What are some of those biggest points of emphasis that, you know, you guys, the upperclassmen, are always kind of, you know, sharing with some of those underclassmen as far as the identity or culture of this program?
One thing we always make sure is that they're having fun. I think that's the biggest thing. Before every game, we say... It's just a game. It's just a sport. There's more to life. So just play free and relaxed and just be thankful we get to play this game because so many people don't. And just to make sure they have fun. Sometimes we forget to say, have fun, and then we're down or it's a close game and we're like, oh, crap, we got to have fun. And then they pull together. But I think that and then also our motto this year is expect it, which I think has been kind of the motto of the past couple years. In 2020, when that team won state, if you look at, watch the video, as soon as we won, it pans over to the audience and Sydney Lovren, Claire Lodge, Emily Manwaren, Jenny Johnson, they're all sitting in the stands as sixth and seventh graders watching. Mm-hmm. And so I think them, like that moment right there started the expect it. Like when they got to high school, they're going to expect to be in that same spot too. And now they are. So that's kind of a cool moment.
Yeah. I think just based on like culture, it's just been really cool the last 5-6 years. Like the last couple games, home games, I've like looked out and I see families from like the 2020 team and the players that, you know, they come back home from college or, you know, they're living their own life now, but they are still here supporting. So it's really has been cool to watch, like, the legacy carry on. I also think just culture-wise, like, I just have a memory of a game. I think it was a couple weeks ago, and we had bases loaded. I think we were down. I don't remember exactly who we were playing, but Katie pulled the batter that was up to the side, and I was like, oh, she's going to do something here. Like, she's got something up her sleeve. And then after the game, I said, she... hit a home run. She ended up hitting a home run. And I said, what'd you say to her? And she said, just that I love her and that whatever happens, happens. And I was like, it's just really cool to watch Katie's lead, how she leads a team. She definitely goes by like person over athlete and she makes each girl feel really special. And I think that kind of trickles over into, you know, they want to play hard because they know that they'll get respect back from coaching staff. So.
Oh, thanks. Taylor does that too. Taylor's a big relationship person.
Yeah.
That's super cool. That's really cool. And I have to imagine, you know, making sure that those underclassmen, some of those eighth graders, making sure that they feel valued, you know, regardless of what their role is. I have to imagine that's a huge part of what you guys do too, right? Because, I mean, you know, seniors up all the way down to eighth graders, everyone has value on this team. How important is that to you guys?
Yeah, we preach that a lot. We always write notes to them before the game and I try and really make them personalize to each player and make sure they know that they're important and what their job is tonight and that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that person, even if they didn't step on the field. And then same thing in practice. Some of them don't really get to have the full practice. They're putting balls in a machine instead since it's the end of the season and JV is over. And they're, like, racing to be the first one to put the balls in. So I just think... we have some really, really great underclassmen that are sacrificing their own practice time to make the older girls better, and I'm really grateful for them. And I think that they know how important they are.
Yeah, we're super lucky in that sense. There's a handful of them that I just, like, I couldn't be any more proud of. I'm just as proud of them as I am of, you know, the starters. Like, they make more of a difference than they think. And I think just one shout out, Capri Clark hasn't let off the gas in the dugout since May. Like, she just picks the whole team up. And there was one game she had a dance recital and she wasn't here. And Katie said before the game, she's like, this doesn't feel right. He's not here. So that just goes to show how much of a difference those players make, too.
All right. Last thing for you guys here. What are the biggest areas of confidence going into the state tournament here next week? What comes to mind as far as confidence and how this team is going to do well here next week?
I think just going in with the mindset that nobody beats us. That's what we keep trying to say. Nobody beats us, which is a hard thing to teach. They just got to have that in them, which they have this year. And I think a confidence thing. These last two games, we have hit the ball so well. So hopefully that carries over. Our batting is huge right now. And Sydney has pitched awesome the last couple of games. So I think her confidence is very high. Yeah, so I think that's kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Our strong points right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.